Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Thanks for staying with us into our guest segment of the show, and thank you for bridging through from our intro segment. And we have a really terrific guest for you in this segment. His name is Patrick Wood. It's been a while since we've had Pat on. He's been a fairly regular guest through the years, and we talk about all things technocracy, or at least as much as we have time for. And he has really opened my eyes to a lot of the advancements of technocracy and the threats posed by technocracy. And this will be no different, because COVID-19 has really opened the floodgates on implementation of technocracy, technology, and what it's doing to us is not good. Before we join our guest, Patrick, let's remind you that we have a couple of groups that keep the lights on here at the Common Sense Show. One of them is our storable food company, preparewithdave.com. That's what we call it. And yes, food acquisition should be a daily part of your routine now by going to the grocery store. But if you're buying 48 cans of food, you're eventually going to habituate to that food. You need variety. And this is why I recommend good storable food, too, that has variety built into it. Our food tastes great. It lasts for 25 years. And right now, they're at the same sales price that we were offering the food for in January. When the food was on sale in January, that sale price is still in effect today. So no price gouging here. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you better have water. And if water acquisition becomes an issue, and the Naval War College says on the fifth day of a crisis, waterborne illness has become the number one cause of death, well, we can help you head that off. The AquaPure Pro Water Filter, the research shows it's the best in the business. That research can be found at waterwithdave.com, and they're offering their product for 40% off. So you won't have trouble finding water in all likelihood in the midst of a water crisis. You'll have trouble finding drinkable water, whether it's standing, lake, swimming pools, whatever it would be. You're going to be able to drink most of that water with the AquaPure Pro Water Filter with 40% off. Go to waterwithdave.com. So you got the food, preparewithdave.com. You got the water, waterwithdave.com. Now we have Patrick Wood, who's going to try to save us through the act of increased awareness about what is going on with technocracy. Pat, I'm glad you could join us, and I am really concerned about the encroachment of technology under this present crisis.
Well, it is. Technology is an enabler, it would appear at this point, but problem is really in the heart of man, I have to say.
Yes.
It's like people will do evil things if they have an opportunity to do evil things, and that's one of the things about our society historically, is that the checks and balances that we've had with the religious nature and moral nature of our nation as well has always acted as a deterrent to would-be tyrants who would stand up in society and say, you must do what I tell you to do. Well, those barriers have been broken down, and these people, these many tyrants, are coming up. They're raising their heads all over our nation in the strangest places, and mayors of cities and city councils and county commissioners and even governors, for that matter. So the problem really is rooted in the heart of men and women. Of course, there are some notable women that just popped into my mind too, like the governor of Michigan. But that is a big problem, Dave.
Yeah, I totally agree. I hear what you're saying. In fact, Whitmer, she went on I forget the show now, but I saw the clip of it, and she was asked, why have you extended your deadlines? All because people think they can bring guns to the Capitol, and someday they're going to use them on each other. I could not believe the words coming out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And you just look at her, and I don't judge a book by its cover, but look into her eyes. That's a soulless individual.
A little on the vacant side.
It truly is. And I'll tell you what really scares me, Pat, and this is what I want to get into now, the technocracy you see encroaching into technology. Let me give you just one setup story. The governor of Washington, Inslee, he not only fires cops like Greg Anderson for saying they're not going to enforce unconstitutional laws, he now is telling restaurants, when I decide I'll give you your right back to open your restaurant, you will write down all the personal information of everyone coming into your restaurant. Did you see that?
I did, absolutely. Okay. And they're not the only one. It happened in Kansas as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Restaurants are being inducted into the, unwillingly, I might add, they're being inducted into the contact tracing army that everybody's talking about the need for. Army of contact tracers.
Well,
so now restaurants going to court.
Yeah. Well, have you seen, this is kind of up your alley now, the drones that are detecting social distance violators, can detect cough, COVID, fever. Have you seen those from Dragonfly?
Yes, I have. And you would almost expect that, wouldn't you, at this stage of the game? The people that want to surveil will use every conceivable means at their disposal to do so.
And what are they really...
Really the case now.
I know. I guess what I have to ask you is this. I've seen enough doctors interviewed, and I've talked to enough of them. They've told me, unless you're in the first few days of an epidemic, contact tracing does you no good. So I have to ask the question, since that viewpoint's well known and widely held, why are these people insisting on pursuing a false reality with false promises? What are they really after, Pat?
It's all politicized at this point. It has nothing to do with health, in my opinion. It has nothing to do with safety of the people, necessarily. And you're right. Most medical personnel, professionals, will tell you that contact tracing is, although historically it's been very effective in some instances, it's always been a very minor thing, and it's been very limited in what it does. You know, so if there were an Ebola outbreak, for instance, which is one of the nastiest diseases on the planet, most likely it would be localized. And secondly, the people who would be the contact tracers would be welcomed, you know, by the community, at least a close community that may have been exposed to this, so they can monitor and do early treatment, stuff like that. But those have always been very limited exercises. And today, though, that process, historic process, has been taken and weaponized, and it's been politicized, and now it's being claimed we have to have contact tracing in order to open up again. This is a hostage situation almost with society. If you want to open up, you must succumb to contact tracing. And this is absolutely and patently insane. And like you said, the medical community knows full well that a fast-spreading virus does not deserve any expenditure on contact tracing at all. Just doesn't. It spreads too fast, too easily. You cannot track the people effectively. This is a very draconian use of a principle, and being implemented to something it was never intended for. And yet they claim that it is, of course, but it isn't. Historically, it absolutely has not been. So in one sense, the whole thing is just basically a sham. It's just as part, in fact, I want to say it's part of the same mantra that has to do with face masks right now. Wearing face masks in public has been a non-policy forever, really. And even Fauci himself said not too long ago that wearing face masks in public is a waste of time. And the CDC, the CDC director said the same thing. And medical doctors around the country have said the same thing. And yet, it's been politicized. And now political elements are saying, if you don't wear face mask in public, you risk being arrested. So it has nothing to do with health. In fact, it kind of does indirectly, because if you wear a face mask for 8 hours a day, you're affecting your own health in a negative way. You may not have coronavirus, but you're gonna get in trouble eventually if you keep wearing a mask all the time.
Then why? Okay, I get these shots twice a week, twice a month, I should say, and I go to a hospital outpatient facility. They also give chemo for cancer. I'm getting mine for allergies, and I go in to this place, and I get my shots, and I have to wait 30 minutes to make sure I'm not going to die. And everyone has to wear a face mask. These are medical professionals. Why are they succumbing to political pressure when they should know this is nonsense?
Well, when it comes from political animals above them, they have no choice. They have to follow the policies that the HMO or the hospital or wherever the hospital answers to brings down from on high.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the so-called protocols, quote-unquote, that everybody's talking about today. I did a video on that not too long ago on the false idea of these protocols coming down from non-medical people. The physicians know what to do on the ground. They're trained to do the right thing when they face a patient. And yet they must follow protocols that are handed down from on high. And people say, well, what's a protocol? You'll remember this one. I know you're not quite as an old-timer as I am, but you remember back in the days when you had to call a support line because your computer crashed?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Or Windows blew up with the old blue screen of death, that sort of thing.
I can remember when those people were in America.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Some far back that goes.
But here's how it goes, okay? And I've been through this before so many times. You call them up and you say, I've got a problem with my computer. It's doing this. I get this message on the screen, and I don't know what to do about it. What can I do? And then you can hear the paper rustling, and they pull out the protocols. It's a checklist. You say, well, did you check the power plug on the back of your PC? Yes. Did you check the power plug as it's plugged into the wall? Yes. And did you reboot your computer? Yes. And they go through this whole thing. Well, you need to reinstall. Did you reinstall Windows? No. And they don't care what the problem really is. They go through this drill with you to lead you through these 64 questions that have nothing to do with your problem whatsoever. But they're given this list of protocols. Say, this is what you're going to do, Mr. Support Person, with every person that calls in. This is legendary. This is how medicine is being treated today. The people that are treating COVID around the country are not treating COVID according to physicians' training that they've received. It's being treated according to the protocols that are handed down from the higher levels of the medical community. That in most cases are not medical. They're not medical personnel at all. But they say you will treat the condition according to A, B, C, D. And by the way, if you get to D and it, you got this symptom, whatever, you ram the ventilator down the patient's throat. Well, but the doctor says, but I don't think he needs a ventilator. Give him a ventilator, you idiot, or you're not going to get paid. Or we're going to fire you from the HMO or whatever you work with the hospital. You follow the rules, you follow the protocols, and if you don't, if you rebel against them, you're out of here. We hear this all the time, Dave. I can't imagine you've heard this too. I'm sure
yes,
you have.
I have. I saw it when I worked in the mental health field too.
Yes. You toe the line or you're tossed out of the system. There was a nurse just the other day, I just was looking at this morning, there was a nurse that refused to take the second COVID test that the hospital demanded that she take. And she said, I'm not going to take it. And they called her up at home and said, don't come back to work. There you go. Boom. Gone. This is just absurd. This is the mentality that's gripped the country right now. And tyrants love this kind of environment. It absolutely love it. And we will be talking about technocrats, by the way, but this is the mind of a technocrat, social engineering. It's not about, you know, medicine per se. It's not about healthcare per se. It's about social engineering. They're engineering society. They're conditioning society to be different than what it was 6 months ago. And we see it. We see evidence of this everywhere we look.
What's a person to do?
Well, my director of training, Mary Baker, who wrote Citizen Ninja Stand Up to Power, she made a very good point the other day in a webinar we had for Citizens for Free Speech. And she said, whatever the role is that they're assigning to you from above, and she said, it's like a stage play. Everybody's got a role to play. Politicians got a role to play. Doctors got a role to play. Nurses got a role to play. Companies got a role to play. And now people have a role to play, whether it's wearing your face mask or, you know, on the street or, you know, whatever. You've been assigned a role. And she said very, very bluntly, and I absolutely agree with this, do not play the role they give you. Just don't play it. We're coming to the point of necessary civil disobedience.
Yes, I've said the same thing.
Period. You must not play the role they assign to you, because what you think is relatively just inconvenient today will not be inconvenient tomorrow. It will hurt. So you need to stop it now and just don't play the role. If somebody says, or your city council says, you must wear a face mask on the street or anywhere you're in public, in a mall or whatever, don't do it. Just don't do it. Just say, you know, and when the police come, just say, take me away. Arrest me, you turkey. No, I don't say you turkey, but, you know, arrest me for not wearing my face mask because I want to see you in court. And I want to get in front of a judge and have discovery. And you're going to be there, my friend. I will make sure that you're there in court, having arrested me for wearing a not wearing a face mask, forcing me to do something that has known risks to my own health. Cannot do that. You're not allowed to do that. And I'll tell you what, if enough people did that, Dave, they would swamp the system.
Oh, you're pulling words out of my mouth. Stop it, Pat. I did a podcast 2 days ago, and I said, Californians, you want to make an impression and have fun at the same time? Put 1 million people on the Southern California beaches tomorrow. And I said, you'll overwhelm law enforcement and the court's ability to respond to you.
Yes.
It's Absolutely. Easy to do, but it's hard to get people to do it. I saw this video, and I can't air it because there's just too many F-bombs. I mean, if it were one or two, I'd probably say viewer discretion advised. But in the event, this lady who needs to wash her mouth out with soap is videotaping the Fresno police coming to shut down a business, and the people block the door. And it was classic. This went on for 30 minutes of video. Now, I don't even know what the resolution was. I looked it up, and then I didn't see anything in the Sacramento Bee. I didn't see anything at all in the media. But this was classic. They arrested one guy who was doing nothing but standing there, and he had to be about 65, 66, 67 years of age. So, of course, they're going to pick on the older guy, you know, the guy that won't struggle. And they put him in handcuffs and took him away, and I'm thinking, what did he do? He was just standing there. Why single him out of the crowd? But they never breached the restaurant. But here's the problem, Pat. Here's the problem. I freeze-framed this when they had the widest view possible, and I couldn't count 30 people that were there.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it shouldn't have mattered. Well, the civil resistance can start anywhere you are. Whether you're in a group or not doesn't really matter. But every time somebody stands up to this and says, I refuse to play that role, and you cannot force me to do something that is detrimental to my health, period, and a subject, let them take you to jail, for Pete's sake. I know, okay, it may cost you a couple of bucks, maybe it won't, maybe you don't have any money because you're out of a job because of being, you know, the lockdown, But if we don't start standing up to this and saying, you know, we want our day in court on this, we're taking you to court, you're not going to get away with this. If we don't start doing this, the results are predictable, totally predictable. It will continue, the pressure will continue, it will seep into other areas, and we started out, I know we want to talk about contact tracing today. This is an example of where the teeth come in. You think, well, I don't need to, I'll wear my face mask, you know, I don't care, whatever. But I'll tell you what, contact tracing, when it comes to your door, you're going to be bloody sorry you didn't stand up and you had a chance to do easy stuff when it was just about the face mask.
Are you talking about HR 6666?
No, actually not. That's another issue.
Okay. No. I thought you were linking that in, say, because the problems of tomorrow are going to be worse than the problems of today, is what I think you were saying. And HR 6666, pause intentional, just passed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Washington, I was just listening to Jay Inslee's speech about, you know, opening up the state again, how they're going to do contact tracing, all that sort of stuff. And there was an article, I think it was in the Linwood Times, that said for those businesses and individuals that don't comply with contact tracing people, that is, the governor stated that he confirmed with the Attorney General Bob Ferguson, this is in Washington State, there will be sanctions in civil or criminal court. They have that ability, they have that authority to apply civil or criminal penalties to you if you don't do what they tell you to do vis-a-vis contact tracing. So if a contact tracer comes to your door, maybe you were in a hospital last week and you got released for COVID. The contact tracer comes to your door and you tell him to get lost. He can come back with the sheriff, Dave, or the police department. Maybe the sheriff would tell him to take a hike, but he come back with the police department and say, you will tell us what we want to know, or else we're going to take you off. And here's the police guy right here with the handcuffs and the gun. This is not American society the way we want to see it progressing. But this is already on the books. In fact, companies, corporations, are even worse than civil society at this point, because corporations can require you to take a COVID test against your will, or else you could be fired, just like drug testing. If you refuse a drug test at a major company, they'll just simply say, there's the door. Bye. You're gone. They're doing this now, and this has been cleared by federal legal officials, whatever. The corporations have the right to do this. They can come up and say, okay, we're implementing a company-wide COVID-19 test. Everybody line up on Monday morning at 8. And a bunch of people drop out and say, nope, not for me, because, of course, they're going to collect a lot of information on you, and they're going to get your saliva and maybe your blood and, you know, who knows what else, personal stuff that you don't want to give them. All your data and stuff's going to be entered into the system. And you say, nope, I'm not going to do that. Well, a company can just drop kick you right out the door on Tuesday. You can't say a thing about it. Just like that nurse that just got fired from a hospital for not taking the COVID test.
You know, I wonder, Pat, if HIPAA doesn't come into effect too, because your employer is not allowed to know everything about your health condition.
Well, I'll tell you what, HIPAA by and large has been, the effect of HIPAA has been just the opposite of what HIPAA was told, or what we were told HIPAA was all about. When you sign a HIPAA agreement, you're giving the medical professional, or wherever you signed it, you're giving them the right to share that with their so-called partners, but they never tell you who the partners are. And it gives them the right to share the information with government, for instance, with the feds, with state officials, with other corporations that might be partners, like, you know, the technology providers and stuff. They can share it with them. That's what HIPAA does. It gives them legal covering for sharing your data with people that they're involved with. And this has resulted in health records being scattered all over the universe now. Google got a hold of hundreds of millions of records, by the way, from a hospital, an HMO system. I can't remember where it was. It was in the Midwest. But Google has a health division, and they partnered with this HMO to do some work with AI and stuff like that. And this was all done under the covers. Nobody even knew it was happening. Customers didn't know it was happening. Patients. And all this data was transferred wholesale, including every person, every personalized piece of data you can imagine was transferred to Google. And when people found out about it, they said, holy cow, you can't do that. And they said, yes, you can. You signed HIPAA agreement. And we're allowed to share it with our business partners. And HIPAA is a joke. I just don't know how any other way to say it. When somebody shoves one in front of my face, now I refuse to sign it. I just say, I'm sorry. And there is no requirement, by the way, that you sign a HIPAA agreement. But no matter how much they protest, there's absolutely no legal requirement that demands that you sign a HIPAA agreement.
What can you do if they tell you they won't treat you?
Well, they can, in which case you can say, you know what, I'm going to, number one, I'm going to walk out. Number two, I'm going to report you. Because your act is illegal, you cannot force me to sign a HIPAA agreement. And actually, every place I've said that I will not sign, they say, oh, okay, and then life goes on as usual. They don't make any protests whatsoever.
Well, let's get into the technocracy aspect of COVID-19 enforcement and how this is going to cripple us down the road, because it's not so much what I think they're doing today, Pat. My feeling is it's what they're setting themselves up to do tomorrow.
Well, of course. And, well, I know what they're doing today is bad enough, but yeah, you're right. What's coming tomorrow is going to be much worse than this. I want to remind people, I've said this, I've quoted this many, many times, but technocracy started in the 1930s, 1932 to be specific, at Columbia University. They modeled a brand new economic system that would basically be social engineering. That's what they called it, not me. And they were going to use science to do it, because science, of course, they said, was all objective and all that kind of stuff, and science can't go wrong. We know that's not true, but that's what they said. And so they wrote down in the technocracy study course in 1934, which became the Bible of technocracy, still stands today, they wrote down six requirements, or seven, actually, that would be necessary for technocracy to be implemented. And you know, people may be listening and say, what the heck is he talking about, technocracy? Okay, look, go read the book Brave New World. I know you've heard about it. You've probably said it before that this is the Brave New World. Go read that book. It was written in 1932 by Aldous Huxley, a Brit, and it was looking into the face of technocracy. It proposed a scientific dictatorship where everything in life is controlled from conception in a test tube to death when you're euthanized when you're 35 years old. You outlived your usefulness. So the technocrats in 1934 wrote down these requirements. Here's two of them, because they apply to what's going on today. This is contact tracing. First requirement, provide a specific registration of the type, kind, etc. of all goods and services where produced and where used. Okay? Specific registration of everything. All goods and services, including health services, where they're produced and where they're used. The next one says, quote, provide specific registration of the consumption of each individual, plus a record and description of the individual, close quote. Those two requirements fit every element of surveillance in society today, and contact tracing is merely one new extension of total surveillance. People need to see this. This is not just a random, oh gee, it was unintended consequences of the Chinese virus. No, it's not. That's not what it is. I believe, very strongly, I've said this publicly, that technocracy and technocrats are in the middle of their coup de grace to take over the planet, to convert it into the technocracy economic system. At this point, I'm fully convinced this is what they're doing, and we're right in the middle of this operation, if you will. And contact tracing is a natural outcome of this, to get all data on all people, to set up the data collection mechanisms. You remember...
Well, Pat, before you go to your next point,
yeah.
When you say to set up the technocracy system, could you do you have any labels, political labels, or catchphrases that people could identify with what that system will look like?
Yes. Let's start with Green New Deal. Green New Deal is proposed by AOC publicly. It actually derived from the United Nations, from their Sustainable Development Program, which is an economic system. Resource-based economic system that was modeled after historic technocracy. This is what it is. When AOC came out and said, hey, we need a Green New Deal, we need to rebuild everything from the ground up all across our country, rebuild all the buildings, you know, get rid of all the fossil fuels, we need to have alternative energy everywhere, and hey, if your living conditions go back to 1875, and well, that's just what we need to do. This is the Green New Deal type mentality that's being foisted upon us right now. But this is historic technocracy. This is nothing new. It's been around for almost 100 years.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. And it's total abject control. See, I vacillate between what I'm seeing the Democrats do, which bears a lot of resemblance to the Bolshevik communists of 1919, and then I vacillate between that and what Jim Mars wrote about when he wrote the book called The Fourth Reich, and he said we're really going to start looking a lot like Nazi Germany did, just a modern version of it. Well, I mean, what's your opinion on those two extremes?
I don't think that hits the mark, honestly. You know, the United Nations swore they're going to kill capitalism and free enterprise. They stated it publicly when the head of climate change at the UN said that they're going to change the economic development model. They have an intention for it. They have a time plan or a timetable, and they have a policy. They said it openly, plainly. I quoted it a million times, public. Well, this is a technocrat mantra from the 1930s. This is what they wanted to do back then when they thought capitalism was dead. It wasn't. It revived. The patient was not dead. But capitalism revived and life went on and technocracy kind of fell away. Well, it's back with a vengeance now. And the United Nations picked it up and they said, you know what, we're going to kill capitalism and free enterprise. Now, here's the question I ask people. Let's talk about global shutdown of the economic system. We haven't seen the results of that yet, Dave. We're about to.
Yeah,
we could have a very, very dark winter this year. and with my economic background, I barely even want to think about it because I'm just scared to go there.
Are you talking about the food really shortages bad. And the famines that are coming?
Well, not just that. It's just, you know, we're talking Great Depression type, you know, type things that could happen. It probably will be different, not quite the same, but we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer economic consequences probably for at least 10 to 15 years if we can possibly pull out of this. But, you know, this is what's in front of us right now. But let me ask the question I ask. What group of people do you know that would have the influence and power to shut down the global economic system? Oh, well, it must be the communists, right? No, sorry. They're petty little people like AOC, you know, in our country, and they're all over the place. True, they don't have that kind of influence. Well, see, it must be the Democrats. No, there aren't any Democrats in Europe. Well, how about Republicans then? No, that doesn't fit. There's no Democrats over there in Africa either, for that matter. And people go through this mental gyration and say, well, maybe it was just coincidence. I mean, nobody really intended to shut down the global economic system. It just happened, and oh, bum. You know, we have to suffer the fallout from this. Well, I got news for you. The people who started this global panic 2020 are the same people, the very same people, who orchestrated alarmism on climate change for the last 25 years. The same group of people. And when they pulled the plug initially on the predictions, it started out in Great Britain, when they pulled the plug and said Britain's going to lose 500,000 people, America's going to lose 1.2 million, the governments of the world went nuts. The United Nations went into action through the World Health Organization to spread this warning and mantra to every nation on the face of our planet. And they shut down the economic system of the world. Who has that influence, Dave, that level of influence? Or let's say, who has the idea in their head that this is something that even ought to be done? It's the technocrats who want a different economic system that will be run by them and not by us. Just that simple. They have brought the world to its knees. And people say, oh, it's just coincidence. Well, I got news for them. It ain't coincidence. These people had an intention to do it. They had a timetable to do it. And they had the influence to do it. And when Imperial College first stood up and blew the warning trumpet on this whole pandemic thing, it wasn't medical personnel that made a statement. It was a statistician who made the statement, an epidemiologist. They're not medical personnel. This guy is not a doctor. He's not trained in any kind of health science. He's a statistician, a mathematician. See, this is, and I might add, he's a class A1 example of a technocrat. He lives in his data. He exists in his data. He's enabled and actuated by his data. But his data is just garbage, bottom line. And by the way, the data model, finally, Dave, that he used, this Professor Neil Ferguson at Imperial College, his algorithm was finally released to other scientists to be examined just to see if, you know, how valid it was and stuff. And so far, everybody that's looked at it has ripped it to shreds as being a piece of garbage as far as a predictive model is concerned. Just garbage.
That doesn't matter to these people because
it doesn't matter.
They just have
no.
to let me give you just a sidebar example for a second. There's supposed to be a heart inflammation disorder spreading among kids. It's affected 100 kids. And Fauci's come out and said, this is why we can't open schools, and this is why we got to stay locked down. And I looked into it. There's no ICD designation. The CDC says we don't even have the symptomology for this yet. And then Fauci said it's linked to COVID-19, and there's not one shred of proof in the data that shows this, yet Fauci wants to shut down the schools and keep you locked down for the next year because of this. This is the fraud and deceit we're seeing.
It is. And yeah, you're right. I want to, I do want to refocus a little bit on the fallacies of contact tracing. We sort of talked about that offline, but I think it's really important that people understand how seriously wrong contact tracing is right now. And, I almost wouldn't know where to start, but I'll start here. There's a number of symptoms. This is what kind of triggered. There's a number of symptoms that COVID carries with it. There's cough, shortness of breath. I'm reading this right off of CDC's website. Fever, chills, muscle pain, sore throat. Now there's six things that could possibly be COVID-19. How many other types of diseases would give you these same symptoms? A cough? Well, you could have allergies, right? I mean, you just told me you had allergies. You could have a fever. You could have a simple cold. You could have an internal infection. You might have a kidney infection, for instance. You can get muscle pain and a fever and chills from kidney infection. There's lots of things give you a cough. You see, these people, these non-medically trained contact tracers, are going to lock people down if they have any of these symptoms, whether they've been tested or not. So if they call you up and you say, yeah, I got a little cold today. Oh, really? Do you have a fever? Well, I've got a 101. You have muscle pain? Well, you know, I mean, life is tough. I do work outside most of the time and lay in blocks, but I got pain. Do you have shortness of breath? Well, yeah, after I cough, yeah, I got to lay down and get shortness of breath. Yeah, oh, you could have COVID-19. And so we're going to require you to quarantine immediately. And not only that, when you go home and quarantine, your entire family has to quarantine with you. Oh, really? They're not sick. Nothing wrong with them. You see, these two-bit non-medically trained people have the authority to put people in personal lockdown and personal quarantine with no proof whatsoever that they have anything to do with COVID-19. Yet they're doing it in the name of COVID-19. This is one of the most dangerous, draconian things that could happen to America, in my opinion, is allowing people to put other people personally in the clink. And really, that's what it is. When you're isolated to your house, you're in the clink. You're in home arrest, essentially. And it gets worse than that, because they're going to ask you next, well, who have you come in contact with? Like, remember, you still just have a cold or an allergy. Well, who have you come in contact with for the last, say, 7 days? Well, there was Cousin Mo, and, you know, I went over to dinner at another person's house, and I went to get a haircut, and they, well, give me their names. Okay, well, here they are. They give a list of six names. Well, the contact tracer then calls all six of those people and says, you have been exposed to COVID-19. And therefore, you must immediately go home and self-quarantine for 14 days. And by the way, it's you and your family. Are you understanding where I'm going with this?
Yes. This is like, I have two reactions. And it does kind of go back to the Nazis a bit. Because the Nazis, if you were caught in the French underground doing something they didn't like, they killed your family. They killed some of your neighbors. They might kill the entire village. But then the second thing is this, is that now they can come and grab you like Nazis in the night at 3 a.m. And they don't have to have an excuse other than the fact that, well, you've been near someone that had COVID. Come with us. We're taking you to wherever we want to take you. And I understand in H.R. 6666, they do not have to tell you or your family where they're taking you. If they take you out of the home, and this gives them the right to do it. In fact, Pat, in the last introductory line of the bill, it talks about coming to get you, the health officials, mobile facilities will come and get you. And then the last line says, and for other purposes. In other words, they wrote themselves a blank check to do anything to you they want.
Yes. Fortunately, this bill has not passed, and it likely will not pass the Senate.
It's passed the Senate.
Were you talking about 666?
Yeah, I looked at it today, and unless it's a misprint on the government website, it's awaiting the president's signature or veto.
Oh, I didn't
now,
know.
Pat, maybe I had double vision, but I did a double take when I saw it passed both. I thought it was just a House bill.
It's been a couple of days since I looked.
Oh, like I said, I don't want to pass misinformation along, but yeah. I'm fairly sure of what I read.
Yeah.
It's scary to think that is actually what's going on here. Let's just say that it didn't even pass the Senate. Let's just go most conservative route here, okay? But still, the idea that they want to grant themselves that authority speaks to intent and what it is they want to do.
Oh gosh, yes, it does. And but I have to say, I guess the only point I was going to make, aside from H.R. 6666, that's 4 sixes. That's incredible. Is that the laws we're talking about here, that we've talked about up to this point, are already on the books. In most states, they have the authority, for instance, like they do in Washington State, to arrest people and to apply criminal and civil penalties.
Yes.
Against people who resist the either taking a test or self-quarantining. If they say you will self-quarantine, let's say one of those second-generation people, and they called you up and they won't tell you who finked, who ratted them out on, who said they saw you and, you got infected or exposed, they won't tell you who that person is, but they will order you to be self-quarantine for 14 days. And if you say, I'm going to work and you guys are a bunch of idiots, well, if they catch you on the way to work or wherever, if they're following you, they have the power to arrest you and take you to jail or take you home and say, you stay here. This is wrong on so many counts. This is not America. This is a police state. And we've been talking about this for a long time, the coming police state. And I have to tell you, it's upon us, and our reaction to it right now is going to be instrumental in how far it continues. Most Americans
agree
and say nothing.
I agree, and I've got to interrupt you here because we have about 5 minutes left in the broadcast, and I want you to talk about your organizations. But, Pat, we're in midstream. I hope that early next week I can get you to come back on and we can do a part two and really delve into this part here.
Yes. It's really important people understand this contact tracing thing.
I agree.
They need legal rights and they need to know their moral rights as well.
Yeah, I'll call you when we're off air and we'll set up a follow-up because we're in midstream. But you're doing great work with First Amendment, which is really part of this problem as well too, Pat, because the First Amendment is under attack in all social media. You can't say something you already said, the Chinese flu. You can't say that without having your work banned.
Right.
It came from China. I mean, it's not even disrespectful to Chinese people. You're just saying where it came from. You didn't say, okay, those evildoers and they want to kill us all. And yeah, so First Amendment stuff is important. So let's take a few minutes here and let's talk about your groups and what you're trying to do with regard to First Amendment rights.
Right. Well, a few years ago I started Citizens for Free Speech. The website is citizensforfreespeech.org, and I would encourage people to go there, if for no other reason, to join, and secondly, to sign our petition on, preserving our civil liberties during this period of time. And all the things we're talking about as we come out of this are not going to get rolled back. You think, well, it can be back to normal. No, it's not. These mayors and governors and city, county commissioners, they're not going to roll back their actions and say, oh, we're sorry now, everything's returned to normal, and we're going to obey the Constitution from now on. They're not going to say that. We need to make sure that our communities get cleaned up of this garbage because, man, they're leaving a train wreck everywhere they've gone. Yeah, sign a petition. It says defend your civil liberties. If you've got a mind to, sound off and sign it. But the idea here of protecting the First Amendment is so critical because the founders put the First Amendment first for a reason. Because communication is the singular most important thing in a constitutional republic or actually any political system. Conversation and the ability to communicate is everything to our nation. And yet, they've tried to shut it down on every conceivable level. On every conceivable level. Oh, you can worship in a church of your choice, but we will tell you how you can worship. You will worship with your chairs 6 feet apart and with your face masks on, maintaining social distancing at all times. You see, this is not the free exercise of religion. This is the stomping out of religion. Or the exercise of religion. And I could go on for free speech. I could go on with censorship. I could go on with freedom of the press, the right to assemble peaceably. How can you assemble peaceably when you have to stand 6 feet apart? Can't do it. Impossible. How about redressing the government for our grievances? Can we do that? No, because you can't go to a state capitol and have a big old protest anymore without social distancing, and, you know, in some cases, you're not even allowed to go on government grounds anymore to protest. You see, the First Amendment has just been a train wreck. And here's the problem. The Second Amendment, which is the right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment was placed there for a reason, too. Because if the First Amendment fails, you're going to deal with the Second Amendment. I don't want to think about that. At this point, I don't even want to consider that. But people need to get a slap in the face and say, you know what? Maybe those old founding fathers knew what they were talking about. You know, maybe they had more sense than we think, you know, than we thought they did. But the purpose of communication can be so easily seen, for instance, and all, you know, the divorces that have happened throughout America, sad as that is, in the last 20, 30 years, you ask anybody that ever got a divorce, well, what happened? Well, I woke up one day and he just wouldn't talk to me anymore. Or he says, well, you know, we got to a point where she just wouldn't communicate with me anymore. I couldn't talk to her. Lost all intimacy. She just didn't want to talk about nothing. See, when communication stops, that's when the knives come out.
I agree. Pat, we got to cut right to it, though. Okay. And I'm sorry, but I want you to give out information on how people can follow you and find out more about your organizations.
Yep. Technocracy.news. That's it. And citizensforfreespeech.org.
And we're linked to that last one on our newsletter that goes out.
You bet.
I think we had about 40,000 people that get that every day. So make sure, listen, check these things out, people. And Pat, I want you to stay close to your phone because I'm going to call you as soon as I bid adieu here to my audience because I want to set up a follow-up because we reached a really important apex there and I think we need to develop it. But thank you for coming on, and I'll be in touch with you in a few minutes.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.